Well, happy Thursday. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, the temperature is rising. Got a little nippy last night, didn't it? And welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone line, and the multiple ways we have to communicate together now via the internet and all of those multiple platforms that are out there. If you want to give us a call, please do. 414-1234 is the local number. It's 800-926-8888. 809 if long distance twixt you and us. Our perspectives at WFSU.org suffices as the email address. And if you want to tweet, that's at WFSU Perspective. Few things that we have in this area really strike newcomers to our region with probably more visual force than the canopy roads that we are so proud to call our own in this part of the country, based originally on, in a lot of cases, Native American trails through the forest and just became byways by default over the years. And we are so lucky to still have many of them. However, as you have heard on this program and elsewhere, over the past several months, we are undergoing a population growth spurt in the area of Florida's capital city, which means more traffic, which means more pressure on these marvelous thoroughfares that we have. So we have members this morning of a special coalition, the Canopy Road Citizen Committee, to protect and defend these canopy roads. And we're going to be talking about that. And we'll entertain your input as well in the course of the next 55 minutes or so. So let's go around the table and say hi to some old friends and some new ones as well. First off, this is a person who has graced these microphones on many occasions before. Marjorie Turnbull, former state representative and Leon County Commissioner, principal advocate for the ordinance creating the Canopy Road Citizens Committee back in 1992, and even brought an article from back in 1989 when this thing first came up, Marjorie. So you are no stranger to this issue at all, are you?
No, it's been a long time, love, and an important issue for me throughout.
Well, can't wait to tap that background that you have here and the current connection to this effort to keep these roads alive and kicking here.
Good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you as always, Marjorie. Tabitha Frazier joins us, current chair of the Canopy Road Citizen Committee, founder of Leon Trees, Inc., and supervisor of the Leon Soil and Water Conservation District. Good to see you, Tabitha.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad we're here talking about this.
I am delighted as well. Scott Davis is with us, too, vice chair of the Leon County Native Plant Society, and the guy I call every time I see something weird in my backyard, and he tells me in no uncertain terms it's an invasive and I should immediately nuke my backyard to get rid of it. But you'll be telling us about some of the other aspects of the whole canopy road question, too, right?
I'm here. I'm newer to the game, but happy to contribute.
Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate that. And recently retired as Leon County Forester, Stan Rosenthal. Stan, dog, I never thought you'd step down from that job.
Well, just, you know, all things have to come to an end at some point. I'm not doing a very good job of stepping down, though. I'm here.
I noticed that. Well, thanks for joining the conversation today, Stan. And we wind up back here with kind of where it all got started. Cliff Thayil, former Leon County Commissioner between 94 and 2010, president of the Florida Association of Counties in 2005-2006, and commission liaison to the Canopy Road Citizen Committee. And kind of this was your bailiwick to put this together, Cliff. And it's so good to see you, man. I tell you, traveling the world agrees with you. I can tell.
Well, it's great to be back here. Good morning, Tom. We come to this morning as the Canopy Road Citizens Protection Coalition. We're a group of concerned citizens and community leaders. We organize to ensure that we have our continuing sense of place and that the voice of citizens in the protection of Leon County's world-famous Canopy Roads remains. We became concerned, as did many in our community, back in October when a commission agenda was issued to direct the staff to evaluate the overall necessity of the Canopy Road Citizens Committee. And because there are other departments to address Canopy Road issues, the direction was that should there be consideration to sunset the committee. started our discussion, and quickly it has morphed into literally there are several hundred concerned citizens and community leaders who want to jump into this thing and address it and have a constructive dialogue with the county and the city. We received an early staff report which called for looking at separating the Citizens Committee proactive outreach education functions from the project review authority provided in the law, in the ordinance. That really troubles us because the function of the Citizens Committee, and they have really been credited with saving thousands of trees over the last 25 years since Marjorie led that charge. And they do that by reviewing development applications and making recommendations, suggestions for mitigating the need to remove trees when a development is taking place. So that's why we have come together. We've created a statement to the community to calling for the preservation of the voice of citizens in the Canopy Road protection. We believe that the voice of citizens is the bedrock of our democracy, and we believe that there's a diminishing role for citizens in our governing process, and that's what we want to speak to and address, and we'll have lots of discussions about that this morning.
How many folks on the committee in total?
Well, we started with a group of 15 or 20. We've drafted a statement of our concerns, which really speaks to the issue of retaining not only the Citizens Committee, obviously, but the importance of their ability to review development applications on Canopy Roads. This is a group of knowledgeable citizens aware of tree and ecological issues associated with trees, and they literally go out on site and look at a project and make recommendations for saving trees that the developer may have missed. It's only a recommendation back to the permitting authorities, but they've had tremendous success over the years in saving lots of trees. We're concerned now that voice of the citizens in the protection of our canopy roads is being diminished. And we're here today to say to the community that the citizens' community is important. And we are going to be asking our local government leaders to protect the role of citizens in giving guidance and advice on our canopy roads. We'll talk a lot more about the importance of canopy roads to our whole community as we go along. They're cultural, historic, and economic assets that are critical to our image of ourselves.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's a great way to shotgun into our first call if we can. You mentioned the economic ramifications there, Cliff. So let's have Stan join us on line one. Hey, Stan, welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, one thing that I've noticed in a lot of the dialogue, both on the air and through print, has been the focus on saving trees and the beauty of the trees, which is all extremely valid as a consideration. But I think that the community as a whole needs to appreciate the fact that most of our print and advertising of our community, both the city and the county, has involved marketing out broadly of these canopy roads as an attribute, a reason to come here, a reason to visit Tallahassee and Leon County, and an opportunity for everyone in the country to enjoy nationally recognized scenic corridors. I'll leave it to others to address the history and all, but this is an important economic boon, and it is one that should not be overlooked for the benefit of certain individual property owners who bought in, you know, knowing what they were getting with these with this corridor of restriction. I served on the Citizens Committee, the one that we're talking about, two terms. And I can tell you, in that two terms, like Cliff said, we didn't have a single application that came before us that didn't get worked out to the benefit of the developer going forward with their project. It's just an opportunity for very knowledgeable folks including architectural folks and biological folks that really know this stuff, to contribute to an overall design that makes sense for everybody. And I really hope that the economic benefit to the community as a whole isn't overlooked for the benefit of the few that might own property and wanting to develop to the max out to the corners of their property.
Stan, thank you so much for the input. And Stan Rosenthal wanted to respond to that comment.
Yeah, Stan, good to hear from you. Quite frankly, right now I've got some out-of-town guests, and they hadn't been to Tallahassee before. And one of the first things that happened, because I live close to a canopy road, is when we got driving down it, they were just like fascinated by this thing and thought it was beautiful. And there's just no doubt that we hang our hat on that a lot.
I'd like to interject here, too, because Stan mentioned the economic benefit, and we are all familiar with Wilani, and that is a very large area that is in the development stage. And if you look at their advert to marketing online, they point out the fact that there is a greenway, 6 mile Miccosukee Greenway, along the edge of their property, which would benefit the owners. So they see it as an economic benefit to the community. And I think others that are along the canopy road and enjoy it do also.
Well, looking back at some of the history, though, and I can almost hear, Cliff Thale, some of your current colleagues on the commission saying, look, if anybody understands the impact and the significance and the beauty of canopy roads, it surely your present group of elected officials, and we're going to go to bat on this. And we really – I mean, the Citizens Committee is nice, but we'll stand up. We'll take care of this. And indeed, we have, whether it's Old St. Augustine Road or Miccosukee Road or Old Bainbridge or several of the other canopy roads. I mean, they're still there. It was a shame we had to lose Thomasville Road, but that is a major thoroughfare. And so the county overall has done a pretty decent job. Well, let's talk about that on the other side of the break here on Perspectives. 414-1234, our local number, it's 800-926-8809. We'll be back with your phone calls and our panel here on the Canopy Roads Citizens Committee right after this. Few things that really impress folks when they come to this area more than our canopy roads. And I can remember, boy, back in 1979, my wife and I were driving into Tallahassee. And again, Thomasville Road was a canopy road at that point. And we had never seen anything like it. And then when we got into some of the other canopy road areas during our initial exploration of this area, that was it. It sold this part of the world to us, and we temporarily moved away in a fit of, I don't know, insanity a couple years after that, but we came back, and that remains to this day something that we will always associate with this area. We're talking with members of the Canopy Roads Citizen Committee here on Perspectives today, and before we get back to the telephones, a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and click Perspectives. We archive past shows, and we try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs, so folks, you can go back and click on and listen to yourself in perpetuity later on this afternoon. Let's go to Lily, who is on line two, giving us a call here on Perspectives. Hi, Lily.
Hey. I work at Native Nurseries, and I just wanted to say I'm lucky enough to get to drive to work underneath a beautiful canopy road and enjoy the morning light coming through the canopy. But what really impresses me about these historic ecological structures is what sources they are for food protection and support for not just bees, birds, and other wildlife, but for other plants as well. And they're just like, they're centers of life that are just such essential members of their community.
Yeah, and I see Scott Davis here nodding his head in agreement, Lily. Let's hear from him on that. Scott?
So we often fail to realize that these canopy roads, they form what we would call an ecological corridor through our city. And we may not realize to what extent our various wildlife species, be it mammals or birds, depend on these sort of roadside ecosystems for their homes, for their food. And in addition to that, we also don't realize that a number of these plant species have been lost from the landscape because of development, and some of the last remaining populations of these species are roadside and are constituents in our canopy. In addition to that, the soil around these trees has been relatively undisturbed compared to the private property behind it or the roadside, and so a lot of herbaceous species like wildflowers that are important for pollinators, this is where they persist. So these are important areas in general.
So that's a historical benefit as well that's often overlooked.
Absolutely.
Okay, because of the entire ecosystem and the interconnectivity that we have on that. When you disrupt even a canopy road, the impact goes far beyond just that corridor, right?
Absolutely. And so let's think about the future and posterity. Some of these trees represent some of the last genetic material that's native to our region that we have for these species. And so we could potentially look at these trees as a source of plants for bettering our canopy roads throughout our region. So one tree constitutes a tremendous loss.
Okay. Megan, I think, was also interested in furthering that discussion there. Hey, Megan, welcome to Perspectives.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering also what, you know, we'd be losing if, like, as far as, like, environmental functions that the trees provide if we cut them down. I know wetlands do a great service for our water quality. So what would we be losing if we remove these canopy roads, these old trees?
Okay, let's punt over here to Tabitha Frazier on that. Tab?
Well, it goes to back to our statement, our sense of place. A lot of us have talked about that this is our identifying feature in this community. We love our canopy roads, and it is something that is very unique to this region in the United States, and we are fortunate to have these roads. And it's the equivalent that I look at it is we don't really have a major river. We're not on a beach. We don't have a mountain. People come here because of our canopy roads. Even our bus routes are called Canopy West and Canopy East. It's something that we identify. It's our identity with this community. So I'm just a little bit disturbed that the Canopy Review Committee is actually up for review. And we have just lost Dan Rosenthal, our forester. And we are one of the only communities that does not – of a major municipality that does not have an urban forester on staff. And and it's kind of hard for me to believe. It's the equivalent of a community living on Lake Tahoe or Niagara Falls that doesn't have any board or any community that is specifically concerned. And so I would love to see the direction of our community head towards really having our local government concentrate and maybe even having a department that is – protecting our trees, that is urban tree management, that includes our canopy road trees and also our large valuable live oaks and historic trees that we have throughout downtown.
Having lived in for a short time in San Antonio, Texas, I kept thinking an analog might be the fact that there is a San Antonio River Committee that is made up of citizens as well as elected officials that oversee that corridor, and anything that happens has to go through that body before it is approved or disapproved.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a couple of years ago, both commissions pressed hard to pass the sales tax extension, raising something like $750 million over the next 20, 25 years. Millions of dollars for infrastructure projects, $90 million to enhance business services, attract businesses, but not a penny for environmental services or to create. And we could think of our trees as infrastructure. We should think of it as a part of the structure of our community. We're so identified, as Tabitha and others have said. So let's look at ways we can be creative to create that kind of resource. The Citizens Committee, they're wonderful eight citizens, knowledgeable citizens who work hard to help us. they don't have the kind of resources to give them guidance and advice that an urban forestry, an office of urban forestry supporting their efforts would give them. And that's one of the things we're actually calling for in this statement. We're offering several really constructive ideas to make the Citizens Committee much more functional and much more efficient. That's one of the criticisms I think we heard, and we're responding to that. The bottom line that, you know, I guess if there's a line in the sand we're going to draw, it's to keep the citizens involved in reviewing development applications. That's the bottom line. If you lose that, they become a toothless tiger and become cheerleaders for the canopy. And heck, we got hundreds of cheerleaders for the canopy all over. We don't need to be appointed by local government to do that. We do that on our own because we love the canopy roads.
Well, Marjorie Turnbull, you have been in a position where you have had to see the yin, the yang, the balance of forces when it comes to things of public policy. And the fact that the need to preserve these wonderful roads can sometimes run counter to the need for improved transportation access to different parts of the county as our population grows. How do you balance that? How do we preserve these things without impeding the flow of traffic too much?
I think that's a very good question because it gets down to what Cliff's been talking about, and that is citizen involvement. I think those of us who have been concerned about canopy roads over the years and our environment generally, and let me say I get too much credit for the creation of the committee. Debbie Leitze was very much involved on the citizen side, and that's why it's a joint committee. Later in the process, the county added the review ability to conform to the city ordinance so that we had identical ordinances and made the process more efficient. But I think my feeling about this is we've gotten complacent. Those of us who cared about this have gotten very complacent. And we are concerned about some of the initial recommendations, and they are just initial. They haven't gone to the commissioners yet, which would suggest that these decisions could be totally made by staff. As a former elected official, I feel like if you – no matter how knowledgeable your staff is, no matter how little capable they are, if you leave it simply in the hands of staff, you're taking it out of the hands of the citizens because their elected officials are no longer involved or they're only involved once the decision is made. And this community, I think, prides itself on citizens' involvement. And I think that is a fundamental issue that the county commission is going to have to address in order to make an informed decision.
Wonderful. Let's go to John. He's on line one, waiting line up here on Perspectives. Hi, John.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling about two things. In regards to the canopy roads and live oaks in particular, there are vines that are killing the trees, and people think they look beautiful, and they really do. But where Benton hits Centerville Road, there is it's a perfect example of vines that are growing up and killing the trees. There's vines that are 4 inches in diameter. I had a tree fall one time, and it didn't fall. It leaned over at about a 45-degree angle because the vines were totally holding it up. And it fell because of the vines. I believe I've talked with a few people about this, with county and city, and both of the gentlemen I talked to said, oh, no, we just don't have the manpower. For a while, they allowed it. And they told me that I could go and cut the vines down, and I've got a two-block area that I keep clean. Every 2 years, I go through and I cut these vines down. So that is one thing, because if you go over to Tom Brown Park, there's a beautiful live oak on one of the bike trails, and it's basically dead, and it's got these massive vines hanging from it.
Yeah, let's get some input on that. So let's see, Scott, Stan, what are they? They're not strangler figs, right? They're something else.
Yeah, no. You know, a lot of our vines, like the grapevine, is probably the largest one that we deal with. They can be a common impact for a tree. You know, in the old days, fire would creep through and kind of keep them in check. So one of the things that we – when we look at our canopy roads is we look at them as just this wild thing that takes care of itself. Well, that's really not the case. Of course, we have hazard potential, so you have to review them very frequently. Yeah, so maintenance is a big issue, and it's kind of a linear garden, shall we say. And from time to time, you have to manage the plants. And it's unfortunate. It's great that you're taking an interest in it, sir, and you're out there helping. It'd be nice if we had a little more help, though. And that kind of goes back to Cliff's statement about the finances of the situation.
Yeah, so it's actually maintenance here that is necessary for this, like you would any other thoroughfare, but this is just an extra aspect of it.
Yeah.
Some time ago, canopy roads were designated, segments of which were considered sparse canopy, medium high canopy, even high quality canopy. Today, that designation doesn't exist. So this would go directly to what Stan was saying, that if we could get back to that segment by segment review in the areas that are sparse, if a tree does have to come down, with the right financial resources, we replant the canopy in the areas that are considered sparse. That's how you, over time, we're looking down the road at 100 years from now, when people are living here and traveling through Tallahassee in hovercrafts down our canopy roads, that they'll still have that same wonderful sense of peace and tranquility that Scott and Marjorie spoke to.
So it's kind of a semi-natural system, and so that's kind of how it has to be managed.
Yeah. Let's see. An old WFSU alum is giving us a ring on line 5. Hey, Mike Dunn. How you doing, sir?
I am fine. Thanks very much, Tom. It's a pleasure to hear this conversation this morning. I know some of the people there on the panel this morning, and I think they know that I have lived on a canopy road since 1989 and have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm right across from the Miccosukee Greenway. And just to echo the conversation as regards maintenance, I know one of my big issues across the course of time is, you know, watching my trees age, many of them gracefully, but some of them not so gracefully, and then trying to get some assistance from the authorities as to what to do about their health, whether they should be taken out or whether they can just be trimmed, and who's responsible for all of that. I know that when we moved here in 1989, there was one set of rules, and then over the course of the years, a couple of different rules changes have occurred to where now I am not entirely certain of what my obligations are living along a canopy road and how I can go about getting assistance to maintain the canopy, to regrow the canopy, which I think is probably in the long term just as important. You know, I don't know that I have ever seen anyone planting trees along the canopy as an attempt to start another generation of trees, for example. So I'd just be interested to hear what the panel has to say about the state of the current ordinances and the changes that have occurred over the years, and whether Blueprint 2020 money might be accessible as a funding source for canopy road maintenance, if indeed this is one of the signatures of our community.
Terrific questions as always, Mike, and we miss you here at the mothership. Thanks so much for calling in. Tabitha Frazier, since you're kind of heading this whole thing up, should the committee continue to survive and thrive, would that be something perhaps to look into?
I do think the committee should continue to exist and thrive, and I appreciate people like you, Mike, that are interested in managing. We do have in our ordinance now references. They ask people to remove invasive exotics along the canopy road, but there is no one. You are right. There is no department. And during this review, since this is brought up, our group of citizens have done our own review, and we've actually looked at a lot of other municipalities, and Tallahassee is designated Tree City USA, and we actually looked at 6 other cities across the state of Florida that also have Tree City USA designations to kind of compare what are they doing compared to what are we doing. Is there anything that's different? And there were 2 striking things that came out of that review, and one is that we do not have an urban forester that manages our interior urban forest. And something else that was interesting out of that review was that all of our tree permitting comes from growth management. And the other 6 cities that were under review, their tree management and permitting for tree removals all come from Parks and Recreation, which are fundamentally 2 different philosophical thoughts when you're issuing permits. And so I would love to see our community head in the direction of actually having an urban forestry department. As I mentioned before, this is our greatest feature. I think that it is something that we value, and I would love to see Blueprint 2020 money be used to dedicate to have something and have professionals that you can call up, Mike, that will come out on your property and tell you exactly this is invasive, this is the healthiest way to remove this, these are the type of removal techniques that will help this thrive. I agree with you, and I would love to see our government move in that direction.
Well, we had a forester, but he retired, Stan.
Yeah, Mike, he's had me out on his property fairly recently, actually, and that was one of the services I provided. But there's one of the conflicts that go on with living on the Canopy Road is who to talk to. There's knowledge. You can get that. But then there's also the regulatory part of it. And I think that that's a synthesis that's always got to be managed. And I've noticed a lot of changes over the years. It's nice if we get into something more consistent so that people know who to call and what to do.
Yeah, and or to have the resources. You live on a Canopy Road. Okay,
right.
here's the deal, guys.
Right.
Yeah, that would be helpful too. Let's see. We're coming up on break time. So Tandy, Sally, Amy, you hang on the line. You'll be first in line when we get to the other side of this upcoming timeout here on Perspectives as we talk about Canopy Roads and the current Canopy Roads Citizen Committee, as there is some discussion as to whether or not that committee will continue in the future. You're always welcome at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, or drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Someone once told me when I took them to the 22nd floor of the Capitol to look out over the Capitol City, said, "You can't see the city for the trees." And by gosh, that holds true. You would never think this is a metropolis of now in excess of 250,000 people when you look out. You can see the immediate downtown, but the rest of the city just sort of floats away in this beautiful green space. Marjorie Turnbull, you had a little bit of history here you wanted to share.
Well, I'm not sure of my facts, and I'd love if someone knows, I'd love for them to call in and let us know. But I was told at one time that in the 1800s, there was a city ordinance that prohibited you from tying your horse to a tree because it might endanger the tree. So our love of trees is not something that just started with the environmental movement in this country. We have loved our trees from the beginning.
Boy, that's for sure. And if you look at some of these old photographs, say from the 1930s and 40s, there are nowhere near as many trees in this city then as there are now. So I guess we're headed in the right direction. Before we head back to the phones, Scott Davis, what about these vines here? You wanted to throw another kind of codicil out here. You shouldn't just go out with a chainsaw and start cutting all the vines off of the trees, right?
Yeah, it's important to differentiate what species the various vines are. Some you may want on your tree. For example, it may be a trumpet vine, which is actually a very lightweight species. It has the same consistency as cork, and this is a critical flowering plant for hummingbirds whenever they return from South America, and it usually flowers in sync with their return. It's important to differentiate that from a grapevine, which might be growing right next to it on the trunk, which has grown out of control because of fire suppression and can cause structural issues with the tree.
Okay. Again, you need an expert. You know.
Yes.
Do not attempt this at home.
And this is where an office of urban forestry comes into play, and that homeowner can go to them and say, "What about this kind of vine? Should we address this or not address this?" But I wanted to speak real briefly to the conflict between the growth that we're experiencing and protecting our natural resources. We have a consensus in this community that we're opposed to urban sprawl becoming like every city USA sprawled out to the county's court. We none of us want that. But we do believe that we can accomplish urban infill, building inside the urban area within the concept of protecting our natural resources and our canopy roads. Our canopy roads are under stress. People want to use their property. They have the right to use their property. Working with the Citizens Committee and working with an Office of Urban Forestry, we can accomplish both positive growth and protection of our natural resources.
A committee colleague is calling in right now. Hi, Sally. Welcome to Perspectives. You still there, Sally? Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Sally Butzine. I'm a member of the Canopy Road Citizen Committee, and I just wanted to clarify our role. I think there is some misunderstanding, particularly from developers and people that want to go ahead and develop whatever, that our committee is always saying no. And I wanted to reassure everybody that this committee is very responsible and deliberative. There's four of us appointed by the city, four by the county, and I have been very impressed as a member of how deliberative our meetings are, and we really take very seriously, especially concerns about safety, and we don't just say no automatically. We really do deliberate. We come up with other ideas, and many, many times we say, yes, go ahead, that tree does need to come down for a safety reason. So when people are talking about getting rid of our committee, I just wanted to clarify that we're there to help, not to be an obstructionist. So that was my comment.
Oh, thank you, Sally. I really appreciate that and the clarification on that. And folks, where are we right now? Cliff, you said that the idea had come up on the county level that the commissioners review all the various citizen committees, of which there are admittedly a bunch out there for, you know, which ones can stay, which ones perhaps have outlived their usefulness here. So where are we in that process? You guys have gone before county commissioners and said, hey, you know, keep us on deck or what?
Well, we've come together as a group of concerned citizens. We've drafted a statement which we'll share with the community. We'll share with the commissions. Apparently, this is going to be a county commission agenda item on March 8th. So we'll be prepared to have that discussion with commissioners beforehand and at the commission meeting. We're going to meet together on the 29th of February at Cascade Park next to the old jail under that beautiful old oak tree there to have a picnic, lunch, and a celebration of the trees. We'll have a signing ceremony to people who want to add their names to this document. We already have at least 100, possibly more, well-known and concerned citizens who want to make it known that they are supportive of the Canopy Road Citizens Committee, supportive of their continued role in reviewing development applications. So that's kind of what's going on right now.
Okay, great. Let's go back to the phones. Amy's online for. Hello, Amy. Welcome to Perspectives. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, I'm concerned about a quote from Commissioner Bill Proctor that was in October. He had said one of the things we don't have a deficiency of in our area is trees, and I'm not sure there's a need to defend them. I just want to know what the panel's opinion was, because I know there's a lot of trees, and like you said, there's more than there used to be, but just concerned about the elimination of the committee to help protect the canopy trees.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, we'll just do a round robin. So you don't want to have that extra time on your hands then, Tabitha, which you would have if you were no longer associated with the Citizens Committee, right?
Yes. No, it's worth my time away from my family to go to these meetings. We're all volunteers. No, I was very concerned by Commissioner Proctor's response to, and he is the chair of the County Commission, and he's one of the longest serving members, so I have no doubt that he has a lot of influence. And I really appreciate your comment, and what's going to take is citizens like you and listeners, please call your county commissioners. To what Margie was saying, we feel that people maybe have been asleep the last few years, and I have personally heard city and county commissioners say to me, Tabitha, no one ever calls. No one really seems to have a complaint about what's happening. So I encourage every listener out there, please, now's the time. Call your county commissioners. Call your city commissioners. Tell them that you want the Citizens Review Committee to remain, and most importantly is that you want us to have review authority over development.
All right. And I think that there was something else that might be perhaps percolating around it. And Marjorie Turnbull, it goes back to history again, when you were on the cutting edge of enacting some protections for trees. I remember all the discussions of the Tree Protection Ordinance way, way back in the deep, dark, dismal past, both on the city and the county level. And to this day, I think there are still some people in this area that believe, oh, if you have a tree with a trunk diameter of more than 4 inches, you have to get some kind of special permit or a vote of the city or county commission before you can go and cut that tree. And that is not true at all.
Well, there are certain trees that you can that refers to. But in my mind, the current ordinances are somewhat vague. And Tamitha can speak to that. I think, Cliff, you have more updated information on that. But there are restrictions on cutting trees, and they're very valid restrictions. The question is, how have they been implemented and how have they been maintained, and is there consistency in the decision making? I think that's an area that we're concerned about.
Yeah, because I recall the outpouring of rage in some quarters of the Magnolia Grove development down at Magnolia and Park Avenue, the old Smith property, which had these gigantic pine trees and had been there since forever. And a development, a clear-cut development took over. And people say, how could this happen? I thought we had all these protections.
Well, that is a little ancillary to the Canopy Road issue, but it does speak to the people's love for our trees in this community. And I'll just say that there are cities, Jacksonville being one, Atlanta being another, that has gone way beyond where our city has been in terms of tree protection. Jacksonville passed a charter amendment, putting in their charter the protection of trees and the enforcement of those protections. So it's something that may have to be looked at here.
So another consideration here coming from Zoe on line 5, guys, if we could get there next. Hi, Zoe. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hello. So I live out by the Ocklockney, and it's near Gadsden County, but it's like along Old Bainbridge, one of our more famous canopy roads. One of the things I noticed when they clear-cut a crop pine field is that the river flooded a lot more readily. These developments that want to clear-cut these areas and have manicured lawns, there's not much there to absorb rainwater or stop erosion or anything like that. How detrimental is that going to be for those communities, and how can they compensate that without a huge cost to government?
Okay, Stan Rosenthal, you got it.
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's interesting. I've been like in places like Indian Head Acres, and what you're seeing with the streams is they're getting deeper and deeper, like tunnels. And so kind of a good comparison is if you go out west into the canyon lands, you'll see these rivers that just run once in a great while because you're kind of in a giant impervious zone. So each time we start taking these systems out, what happens is you start to imitate that more. And you can even see the streams we've got running through towns shifting in that direction. So is that free? No. So our solutions are more holding ponds, more this, more that. So what happens is a lot of times we don't look at costs, how they really are when you start messing with the environment like that. This person here over benefits, but then the people down the stream don't, just kind of like you're talking to. And it's big.
Okay, but we want to also balance things out, and that's why Colin has given us a call here on line 6. Thanks for your patience, Colin. Go ahead. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So the balance for me comes in where we're talking about the safety of these canopy roads, where they're expecting to handle high traffic. And the speeds have obviously increased over the times where, you know, canopy roads were initial and people were driving very slowly. Now people are driving much quicker down these roads. And, if they have a tire blowout or something like that, they're still going at a high speed. They go off the road and these canopy roads become a real danger. So my question is how to balance these high traffic areas with the types of canopy roads you're interested in having with the dangers that they they're clear.
Absolutely, Colin. Cliffdale,
well,
all yours.
You're right, Colin. There's been considerable development on all of our canopy roads, and the speed limit is listed on all of them, and we think that there should be better enforcement of those speed limits. And The other thing is I live on Miccosukee Road, for example. People that are concerned about the safety of driving on that can easily get over to Highway 90, which is now a four-lane road, and go directly into Tallahassee. You should drive slow on canopy roads. They are a source of tranquility and peace, and if you drive it slowly, you'll really enhance your own quality of life.
Is that maybe one of the ultimate solutions to this, is to have the canopy roads as a standalone protected situation, and if we need more straight-through traffic thoroughfares, that there be parallel roadways there? Marjorie Turnbull, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I go back to the Wilani situation now, which is between two canopy roads, and they are developing Wilani Boulevard. When that is totally developed, there will be a major thoroughfare through Wilani that will take care of that traffic so it won't pour onto the canopy road. So I think when we look at additional development, we need to look at what are the alternative routes that are available to traffic.
And in a rapidly urbanizing situation, I know that gets expensive because you're looking at right-of-way acquisition, which is a lot more expensive now than it was 25, 30 years ago for sure. And displacement perhaps of neighborhoods, all that kind of thing. So again, the more citizens involved in this process to help figure out those kinds of things maybe is the way to go. Tam, you think?
I totally agree. And to go back to what we were talking about, Marjorie mentioned that our ordinances are a little bit vague. And to talk about Magnolia Grove, none of those trees are protected. What it says in our – there is not a single tree in our county that is not permeable. Even our patriarchal oak trees, you can get a permit for a patriarchal oak. What it says in our permit is that you have to get a permit for any tree greater than 36 inches in diameter. What people need to realize, 36 inch in diameter is over almost 9.5 feet circumference. That's an incredibly large tree. Longleaf pines do not grow that fast. To be a 36 in diameter longleaf pine, that is incredibly old. So many of our trees are – they're not even – you don't even need a permit. And that's why we see so many being taken down. In addition to that, our ordinance makes reference to exceptional specimen tree. And this is something that IU was like, what is an exceptional specimen tree? It doesn't give the size. It doesn't give the species. Until over the course of the last few weeks, I got together with Chuck Goodhart, our retired forester, and he was the one that told me he helped write the ordinance. And he said, I wrote it vague on purpose because I wanted an exceptional tree. What if there's a Japanese maple that every November is the most beautiful color scarlet, and everyone that drives through that neighborhood notices, like, the Johansson's scarlet Japanese maple? He's like, it was a way for people to say that this is exceptional and we care about this in our community. There is no list of exceptional specimen trees. There is no – it's just a term that's out there. So what is – all trees are just permitted. And so this is something, an area that we can improve upon. I'd like to have people start listing exceptional specimen trees. I'd like to know where they are. I'd like to see them mapped. So when there does come a development, then maybe that'll be highlighted. And this is exceptional. This is valuable to our community. In addition, as we know, our canopy roads are exceptional species and exceptional – thoroughfares in our community.
Well, I'm thinking there was one exceptional tree that actually brought a Florida Department of Transportation project to a screeching halt, at least for a little while, out on Highway 90 at Edenfield, that huge oak tree. And DOT said, it's going to go. And the people in that area came out en masse and said, it doesn't have to. They changed the plan, and yet traffic still flows freely out there on Highway 90, but that tree lives.
Yeah. I went out there with the former county administrator, Parwez Alam, to have him take a look at that. And he was telling me on the way out that afternoon, no, if the plans have gone too far, we're not going to be able to save it. We got out there. It's on Highland Drive, and the neighbors were there. And we looked at that tree, and PA walked around it, and he said, we're going to save this tree. And it's still there today, and everybody does enjoy it. Can I give a couple phone numbers for people if they want to get in touch with us, they can follow up with us afterwards?
Certainly. Yeah, you can go ahead.
766-3122.
No, my telephone, Tabitha Frazier, is area code 850-766-3217.
I knew that. I knew that. I call it all the time. And mine is 545-8866.
Yeah, I think you're on about 500,000 Rolodexes around here, Cliff. I don't know why. But And again, coming up on March 8th is the Leon County Commission agenda. Now, that has been moved, I think, from in the past. So you have to keep looking and see if that's up there. And then on the 29th, you got the signing down there at the old jail.
That's right.
My gosh, the hour has just whizzed right on by. Marjorie Turnbull, Tabitha Frazier, Scott Davis, Dan Rosenthal, and of course Cliff Thayil, and everyone who's called in. Thank you so much for being on Perspectives today to talk about Canopy Roads. Appreciate it, folks. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls doing the technical stuff, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Hey, while we're on the subject of beautiful things like Canopy Roads, many ways to preserve and enhance the beauty of our area. Next week's Perspectives, folks from the Keep Tallahassee Beautiful effort will be with us. Please join us then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.